Okay, yes, sir.
This is January the 18th, 2011, at 7:37. 7:38. Jack's clock shows it later. This is the January monthly meeting for ANC 1D. Let me propose that to the commission one of two ways. One is we elect officers immediately, and because I think a lot of people are here to see that, and or we can delay
it. But let me suggest that because Stormy is not feeling well, let's proceed with the election of officers, get that out of the way so that Stormy can go home as soon as possible.
May I see if there are a show of hands, is that okay with everyone? It's passed unanimously. Okay. So now we move on. The first office to be filled is that of the chair. Do I hear nominations for chair?
I nominate Greg.
Any other nominations? All right. Then all in favor of...
Actually, I have a question.
All right. And, sure.
So my question relates to this email.
Use the microphone, please.
Sure. Thank you. And first of all, my name is Chyna Terrell. I think this is my first time here speaking, and so I want everyone to know that I live at 1900 Lamont Street, which is right at the end of Lamont Street, right across from the dog park. And so thank you, everyone, for being here. I am also the general counsel of the Human Services. So now I am Jim Graham's general counsel. I was Tommy Wells' counsel, but when the committee switched and Tommy became the chair of the Public Works and Transportation, I'm continuing my work with the Committee on Human Services. So now I handle Jim Graham's legislative portfolio. So and so Jim Graham now has Human Services in ABRA. Okay. So this is on. So I guess my concern here is an email that I received from Jack back in November to me, which says, struck an agreement with Greg, which I think will be satisfactory answer to our concerns and won't trigger a bitter fight. For this coming year, we'll continue as we are now, Greg as chair, Stormy as vice chair, me doing a secretary treasurer job. This will give the new commissioners experience at the work of the commission. By the way, the existing agreement with Greg is that Stormy will actually preside over the meetings. She's quite good at that, exercising firm but benevolent control. As for my being both secretary and treasurer, well, if one of you wants either job, please speak up. I took on the treasurer post only after two other commissioners were utter failures at the job. Following this coming year, Greg will not be a candidate for any of the officer positions. It'll be up to us to define a new arrangement. Who knows, by then, one of you will be ready to be chair. That'll be fine with me. I did the chairperson thing once, and I'm not enthusiastic about doing that job again. I hope this is acceptable to both of you. Let me know. And this is signed by Jack, but it was sent only to me and to Laura. It wasn't sent to Stormy or to Yasmin, but it talks about a deal that Jack and Greg struck together. So I'm concerned about how this email really comports with the open decisions requirement in D.C. law.
We are certainly in a position to have a discussion of the matter. I think my personal feeling is we do need to make some changes. We certainly need to make some changes. But I don't want to make a change with brand new commissioners in place with no experience. So I thought that Greg's suggestion that we take the first year with the existing commissioners and then step aside and let the new commissioners move up is an admirable one. I'm perfectly willing to support that publicly.
Story.
And my personal standpoint on it is that just as if anything, when you first come into it, I think you would want to be gracious and learn before attempting to step up and be the chair, because you may have affiliations in other areas and you may have strengths in other areas, but you yet do not have the experience necessary for being the chair of the ANC. All situations are handled differently. And I feel that that would be a good arrangement as well.
Apparently we're having a discussion, so let's go around the room. Jasmine?
I think it's better, you know, where we want to learn it now. We have the 2 years for the commissioner, and for me, it's better that we don't have change now. Maybe in next year we can change what we're learning. This is the first point. The second point, I think we don't respect the people, but suppose we say, hey, my name is Jasmine Romero. I'm commissioner for 1DO1, but I think a lot of people don't know who is another commissioner. I think we need starting for presentation. Sorry. Thank you.
I just want to say this. You're right. We could start with introductions, although just about everybody knows who we are. When you have an ANC meeting, we're having the meeting in public, not necessarily with the public. So when it comes time for us to do open discussion or whatever, that could be the time when we could introduce ourselves.
Good. Laura?
One thing I'd like to hear about, sorry. One thing I'd like to hear about, Greg, and if you're running for chair, is what do you want to do this year? I think that would be a really good thing to hear. And I think, at least from my constituency, I've heard a lot of concern about how you run the meeting sometimes. And so I'd like to hear if you plan to make anything different this year.
Okay. Yeah. If it pleases the commission, I'd like to respond to the points made. Number one, I do not want to be chair next year. I'm at a point in with my personal life where I can't afford the time. Some other officer position needs to be filled, well, then I'll look at it. My understanding was that I told Jack that I have a lot of personal challenges, and I cannot put in 60 to 80 hours a week like I have very often in the past. So I've got to change. But we cannot predict the future of what will happen. I am quite clear, though, that I simply cannot afford to continue the way it is. On the way that the meetings are run, I believe that we all need to rethink how things are going and have good discussions on them that are open-minded, that where we understand the other points of view, we seek for alternatives. No one tries to pressure anyone else. In fact, there are not deals made. I think it's a mistake to make deals. On the other hand, I do believe this, that before someone puts in months or weeks or months of time on the basis that there's likely to be support for a project, and it seems likely, well, then there is a commitment to try to work out the details, and including as matters arise and new arguments and evidence arise. But we'll try to do that. It has been my practice to try to call all commissioners before the meetings and try to see what's going on and to urge people to talk with each other, and that's something that I would continue. There are people that have been unhappy with the ANC. I think that's based upon a misunderstanding that we're an advisory committee, not a legislature, and that we are due a great weight only when we have evidence-based arguments, and that and furthermore that we are not to be representing, as a legislature does, a constituency, but instead that we must not give fear or favor to any group. I take it personally that not only my own constituency but others should have all the arguments and points of view be able to be brought out and discussed. I've made a lot of proposals, many of which have been adopted, to make this a more open organization, but there are still people that prefer it to operate as a legislature. So we can't please them. That's the end of my statement.
Yeah, let me point out, first of all, the role of the chair is to preside over the meetings, but the chair is the servant of the commission. The chair is not the boss of the commission. That's really important to recognize. Greg and I have fought this battle many times, and it's really important to recognize that the only role of the chair is to serve the commission, not to run the commission. Now, the complaints we hear really had to do with this notion that the ANC meetings are meetings with the public. Well, only the public discussion period is with the public. The rest of the meeting is an ANC meeting. It is open to the public. A lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't understand that and have a problem with the way we are running these meetings. I will stand up for the way we have run our meetings as ANC meetings that are open to the public. Done.
Just a couple of things, and I'd like to make a motion. For one thing, I really appreciate, Jack, your saying that the job of the chair is to preside over the meetings. But I'm still confused, and I hope that one of you can address it, because in the email that I just read, it says that Greg will be chair, but Stormy will preside over the meetings. And my understanding is that the reason for that is that there has been such acrimony between Greg and Jack that neither one of them is happy when one of them is presiding over the meetings, and that for that reason, Stormy then presides over the meetings. And so if this is true, and if that's the reason that Stormy will preside, even though Greg will be the chair, then I'm just questioning whether, you know, you can speak to whether, Greg, you really are prepared to fulfill the role of the chair and how that relationship will work out between you and Jack. But my motion is this. I'd like, because I know that under the rules, at any time the commission can choose to recognize the public to hear their comments. And because this is such an important decision and really kind of like sets the tone for the meetings going forward for the next year, I'd like to move that we just take 3 minutes even just to see if there are any comments from the audience, to see if they have anything they'd like to say about the tone that they would like to have the chair set, or if they have any questions that they would like the person running for chair to answer. But that's my motion, to open it up for just a few minutes to the audience on such an important decision.
I'll rule that out of order because we have another motion on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Then I'd like to make an amendment to the motion that's currently on the floor, that we address Greg's motion in terms of the nomination for chair, but only after we have a 5-minute discussion period on with the public and allow them to speak. And then I think that under the rules, we would have to hear it.
Well, I'm also going to rule that because you asked me a direct question, and there are, in effect, charges that my incapacity and...
Not incapacity, but...
Well, more or less, I would like to say the following things to this. Number one...
Let me raise a point of order.
Okay.
There is no possibility of amending a nomination. This is not a motion. This is a nomination.
Right.
There is no... We do not... I have the floor. I have the floor. You will let me see it. There is no position in parliamentary procedure for a motion to amend a nomination. So we may open the discussion of the nomination, but not to amendments to the nomination.
That's fine.
Okay, there were some questions and in effect some somewhat hidden, but I think really understandable criticisms of me personally. Here's my thinking on this.
I want to move the vote.
Okay, but let me just, as a point of personal order, just respond to it no more than two sentences.
But as chair, you're out of order yourself now.
Well, as a point of order, when there's attack, someone gets a chance to respond as a point of personal privilege. One is that Jack and I get along fine.
Is that true?
And secondly, that it is my position that if I get personally involved in an issue for more than just a moment or two, or anyone else who is chairing or has a position to make a presentation. We should ask them to pass the chair on to the next person, and because although in our rules say that we can operate informally when there is a loss of comity, well, then I think that should be the situation. Now, I respect Jack's point, and I acknowledge it, and so the chair currently rules that that we should proceed with the situation, which is a vote on the nomination.
Jack, when you just said it could be open, what does that mean?
I'm sorry. When you just said that it could be open to discussion, what did you mean by that?
The nomination can be discussed. I think it's appropriate to have statements by the nominee and discussion by the commissioners.
But that's you're saying it cannot be open to public comment.
But opening to public comment is up to the commission.
Well, since we're operating informally, I'd like to go back to that issue. All in favor of opening the discussion to no more than, you said three and then five?
I say five.
Okay.
I didn't think it was on before. Okay, so 5 minutes, I think that's appropriate. Just, you know, there may not even be anyone that's interested in speaking on this, but I do think it deserves allowing the public to say a word or two if they're interested. So it would be five.
Okay, all in favor of that proposal? All opposed? 3-2. It fails. So we will proceed now to...
For the record, can you name the persons voting?
The persons voting in favor of China's proposal. And I did not ask for a second because we're trying to operate informally. Are Jack, Jasmine, and Greg... The people, voting against it, the people voting for it were Laura and China.
With Stormy abstaining? Yes.
Okay. Proceeding now to the vote. All those in favor of the person nominated to be chair for this coming year? Holland.
Is the discussion period over within the commission then? Or can I ask you another question?
A two-thirds vote is required to close discussion. This is true.
Okay. You wish to...
Can I ask you another question? Well, I'm curious about the process for setting agendas for the commission meetings. And I know when I was just a regular resident before becoming a commissioner, I had a hard time understanding where I could find the agendas to know whether or not I wanted to come to the meetings and to know whether... the order would be followed to those agendas and even associated time, so I know more or less when to stop by. I know we have a lot of busy people that take time either from their restaurants or what have you. Is it obvious where those are posted?
Yes, it is. So even though this is not pertinent to the process that we're going through now, this discussion is not pertinent to it. It's another topic. I think I can answer it very quickly. On the ANC1D.org website, there is on the first page, in the first few lines, there's a statement of the open agenda process, and there's a link to a page maintained by the secretary of all the submissions by individual commissioners that are up for consideration.
Right. So does that, the reason it's linked to this discussion is I'm curious about whether you think that works essentially for the public in terms of knowing what we're talking about and having the opportunity to influence what we talk about. And is that something that could be even more?
Check.
We can take this up at a later time, please. Let's complete the election of officers.
But it impacts whether or not I would want to support Greg for chair, because I do know also that my constituents are interested in making sure that they know what agendas are. What the topics are for the agenda and when they could arrive to make good use of their time and whether they could contribute to those agendas. So if that's something you support, then that influences my vote.
No, I don't. I don't support it. We've discussed that many times over many, many years. And while there have been one or two commissioners that have preferred that, it is largely not preferred.
Point of information. Okay, what is it exactly that's not being supported in response? I just want to make sure that I'm understanding.
The answer was that while I have promised that we can make everything that we do open for discussion and change, that at the moment I see no reason to change this process that has been discussed almost every year for going on 7 years.
Point of information, and I'm going to
rule you out of order very quickly because this is on a side issue. As I said, it's not pertinent to the really directly to the question, but go ahead.
Pardon, Greg, but it's absolutely pertinent to whether, if you're the chair and you're presiding over the meetings, how the agenda is formulated is everything, right? Because it controls the topic of discussion, it controls the amount of time per topic. And so as someone who is listening to the interests of our constituents, I want to make sure that the way that you're choosing to run the meetings, and when you said I don't agree with that, I'm not exactly clear what you don't agree with, but that's something I would like for the record so that
let me try to answer this
Great.
Again briefly, if I may. Number one, I reported to you that this has been heavily discussed before, and I see no reason to change it at this time, although I'm interested in a more discussion on it. Number two, I do agree with you. As someone that has been an avid amateur and read a lot of the social science on this issue, that the agenda is the most important item that a decision-making body can set. So the actual way that we do this is that the commission as a whole sets the time and the order of how things will be considered and typically does operate with some flexibility. And this is the most democratic way of doing it. Indeed, when we discussed it before and looked into the legal background, that because it is so important, it is something that must be done at an open, quorumed meeting, because it determines almost the fate of what the commission does in setting the agenda. So the way that we do it is it open to every commissioner, the current process to be potentially discussed. It's open to every commissioner to make suggestions, to talk with other commissioners, to publish their emails, and you'll see that I publish a lot of emails and some depth, so I get a lot of opposition to my ideas because this is a diverse neighborhood. But it is totally open. It is updated frequently by Jack. Jack does a wonderful job in updating it even on the last day several times. And it is done as the law requires in open. 7 years ago, going on 7 years ago when I came first, it was done in secret by a kind of executive committee meeting. And decisions were made, and I think that's a very bad way of doing the public's business. I hope this clarifies the situation. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I want to proceed to the vote for chair.
Okay. So that is a motion to close discussion. All in favor of closing discussion? 6-0. Okay. You've all heard the nomination. And all in favor for the nominee? Let me see your hands. 4. All opposed? 1. Laura, do you... Abstain. Okay. And because there is some interest and division in this, the 4 voting in favor of the nominee are Jack, Jasmine, Stormy, and Greg. Now we move on to the position of vice chair. Are there nominations?
Mr.
My nomination is Mrs. Scott for vice chairman.
Thank you. Are there other nominations? Hearing none, I think we should move on.
China, I don't know if you want it, but I'd like to nominate you for vice chair. I'm not sure, Stormy, if you want it, so I'm curious to hear what both of you think about that, but I'll nominate China.
So we want to hear from both of you if you'll accept it.
Well, the main reason why I enjoyed being vice chair was because I was chairing the meetings. I like direct meetings. I like meetings that are not insults. I like everybody to be respected, and I like to keep it in a timely fashion. And with no disrespect to any commissioner, when I first got here, we had commissioners that would take 10 minutes to explain something that could have took 2 words. And I felt that that was taking up a lot of time, and so I felt that, okay, if I get into a position, then I can run the meeting and I can stop that. The next reason why I'd rather end being co-chair as opposed to chair is because when I came in, these people were already seasoned. They were already accustomed to going downtown and dealing with the situations. I coming in would have been, and I still feel this way, I'm still learning. And so I don't have the strength that the chair has, but I have the backup that the chair requires when it's in meetings to take over. And so that's my position on that.
I really thank Laura for her nomination, and what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll respectfully decline the nomination, the only reason being that since Jack and Greg have already cut a deal that Greg would be chair and that Stormy would run the meetings, then procedurally to me it makes sense that if Stormy's going to do that, then she should have the title of vice chair. And then too, I respect Stormy's leadership. I'm having attended the meetings for a year, and I think that Stormy has done a wonderful job at maintaining order and keeping the peace and keeping everybody moving and getting the ball down the field. And so so I look forward to seeing her leadership continue in that role.
Jack, did I miss something? Laura, did you nominate China for vice chair?
Yes.
She did. And China, you declined?
Yes.
Okay, just for the record, wanted to have that.
Yeah. Again, a point of... I did not say that Jack and I cut a deal. I had another version of the story. So please understand that I deny your allegation. Okay, Jack.
Yeah, just quickly, let me assure you, Stormy runs a fine meeting with a firm but gentle hand. Let me see. She earned the name Stormy for good reason. Don't cross her.
So point of information, since we've just elected the chair, but the chair is still running the meeting, but I think that the deal was, because I don't mean to make any allegations whatsoever, I was just really reading Jack's email, so it was really Jack's, comment. But does that mean that Stormy should be taking over, presiding over the meeting?
No, that's not what I say. Stormy is our backup, so that if things get tight, well then she steps in. And I have a history that when other commissioners suggest that things are getting tight, to turn the chair over to her.
I make a motion for the discussion to be closed.
Okay. All in favor of closing discussion now? 6-0. All in favor of Stormy Scott to be vice chair? 6-0. Nominations are open for secretary. Laura.
I nominate Jack.
Are there any other nominations? No. Then is there discussion?
You do have to ask if Jack accepts the nomination.
Oh, yes. That's the equivalent of a second.
Jack, will you accept?
Yes. Okay.
I'd just like to say I've already seen Jack do so much work for the commission and really try to do it in a balanced way, and I really support all of the work he's done.
Okay. So we've closed discussion. No, is there discussion? Sorry. Story.
I just want to say that whomever, someone will have to take one of those offices. And I just want to suggest that if in your mind you feel that you want to take on one, please pay close attention to what Jack does, because we had two other commissioners that messed it up so badly. It was just ugly. And if you study under Jack, you'll be an expert at it, because he is truly the best in both offices.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the nominee? 6-0. What? Oh, excuse me. Motion to close. And yes. Okay. Moving on now. Unless there's disagreement, I think we can move somewhat informally. The nominations are in order for the treasurer. Laura.
I'll also nominate Jack for that.
Jack will accept.
Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, is there discussion? No. All in favor of the nominee? It's 6-0.
I'd like to make a motion again that we open for public discussion so that the public can have an opportunity to have their opinions and voices heard on what just took place, since it couldn't happen beforehand. And I hope there would be a second.
Okay. I was going to ask the same thing, but anyway. Jack.
I think it's really important that we get through this business of the storm. We can go home.
Okay.
So I would object to any discussion at this time, any public discussion at this time.
I'm going to be fine with it, Jack, because I that's one thing I like, is that little brief public discussion. I'm okay. I just can't stop coughing, but I'm okay.
All right. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, let us move. Would you accept as a friendly amendment that we, given the circumstances, that we try to get the public discussion done in 10 minutes?
I accept.
All right. All in favor of the motion?
State the motion, please.
The motion is that the commission now open for public discussion, including discussion with the commissioners and questions and answers is the way we do it. Is that acceptable to you?
Acceptable. Thank you so much.
Okay. All in favor of this motion? It is 4. And all opposed? Opposed? Is that abstaining or opposed?
Abstaining.
It is 4 to Jack opposing and Jasmine abstaining. So the motion passes. I usually start here, but are you about to leave? Okay.
Let's be clear. Isn't this to discuss specifically the election of officers?
Yes.
No. Oh, I thought it was a...
Nope.
I thought it was... Well, the motion, as I restated it, was purely as a public discussion.
I didn't understand it that way. Sorry.
Nor did I. I understood it as a discussion of the election of officers.
That's correct, Chair. Have to pay attention.
Could we also just open it for people who want to speak rather than pass it? Because I feel like there's undue pressure when the microphone gets passed.
Yeah, would you explain that to me, Jack?
I second that.
The question is, who wishes to speak concerning the election of officers?
Name yourself for the record, please.
My name is Stephen DeMann, and I am a resident at 1713 Kilbourne, 17th and Kilbourne. And I want to just say I really appreciate that these are open to the public, and I'm glad that have this right to be able to be here. And as a relatively new resident to Mount Pleasant, I love Mount Pleasant. I'm very happy to live here. I wish that our ANC had a little bit more of a tone of civility. And I just, coming here, it just seems like there's a lot that couldn't be improved in terms of not just tone and decorum, but also efficiency. For efficiency's sake, I thought the idea of an agenda to be able to see what is going to be discussed would be great. And I also, you know, think it would be great to, if there was a way to figure out like other ANCs in the area, what they're doing and what works well there, and maybe we can incorporate some of what works there. But I hope that there aren't backroom deals happening, and I really do appreciate that this is open, and I hope that we can continue to have a more united ANC, which will hopefully lead to a more united community.
Would you? Someone else?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Heidi Vanega from Heidi's Restaurant. I represent the United Business, which is most the Latino business in the 3100 block. Congratulations to every one of you in the ANC. Thank you for your public service. And I hope we can work together this year, and I expect in progress. And congratulations again.
Good evening. My name is Mario. I'm a resident of Mount Pleasant and a co-owner of Heidi's Restaurant.
Close to your mouth.
Yeah. I just want to congratulate the commissioners, the new elected, and the new positions. And I hope all of you get together for the well-being of Mount Pleasant and get things done. Because we want to see progress in Mount Pleasant, and Mount Pleasant deserves it and needs progress. So please work together, and also when we can help in any way that the commissioner need. I know you have no salaries, but we're willing to help you to engage in the process of this. Thank you.
Anybody else?
This is supposed to be a discussion of elected officers. We seem to be finished.
That's it.
Okay, let me suggest now we continue public discussion for...
Big burden.
Oh, okay. So we need to move on, okay?
Yeah, remember, we do want to get Stormy
in. All right, good.
So I think the next item of business is the calendar of meetings, which we are required to set at this meeting.
Is that acceptable to the commission?
Yes.
So I won't call for a vote because I'll assume that if anyone doesn't want a suggestion, well, then you'll speak up. Is that okay? Good. Stormy.
Can I just ask, has everyone been able to see the schedule before tonight? Did everyone view it on your email or whatever?
No.
No, everyone didn't. Okay.
I'm sorry, who said no?
I did.
But this has been posted for
days. It's been posted,
yes.
Yeah. It has been. Yeah. And so I'm just thinking, but I knew what it was already.
Right.
I'm just answering Stormy's question in terms of did everyone view it before tonight, and my answer is no.
But who did not view it before tonight? I don't understand that. I don't understand the answer.
Well,
I mean, I even sent this as an attachment.
You did your part. It's totally fine. I didn't look at it because I knew already what it said. I knew already what the discussion points were.
Okay.
Yeah. You did your part. It's not
on an informal basis to cut through the formalities for more efficiency. Let me assume that this is the motion on the floor, and it's now up for discussion.
What motion are you assuming is on the floor?
Schedule for the.
Yeah, let me make the motion.
All right.
I move that we continue the same schedule that we have had this year, which is to say, the business meeting is on the third Tuesday of each month, and the informal meeting is on the first Tuesday of each month.
Are you saying the same time, or you're saying the same
date? I very carefully skipped over the time. We can deal with that.
Well, because you said the same schedule, so you just mean the dates.
Just the dates. This is correct.
Same calendar.
So what do we do? Second it now?
Yes.
I second that.
Thank you. It's now open for discussion.
Motion to close debate.
Second.
I would like to discuss it.
Well, perhaps we could at this time consider, well, no, okay, fine. Let's. I agree with this approach of setting the calendar and then afterwards proceeding to setting the times. Is that acceptable? It appears to be.
Okay. Again, I need to chair efficiently. I need real feedback from people so I can see in your faces and so we don't have to go through all the rigmarole. Okay. May I ask if I may make a friendly amendment? Okay. And that is that...
And I am free to object to it.
Of course. You... Never mind. This last year, in fact, we changed the informal meetings. Because of the proximity of Christmas and of Thanksgiving to the third Tuesday, we made in the months of November and December, we had one meeting, and we made that meeting at the beginning of the month the formal meeting.
Let me suggest that we deal with those issues when the time arrives rather than trying to set it now.
All right.
I mean, I understand the point. When we see one of these meetings suddenly colliding with a holiday, then, yeah, we may want to shift it around. But we can do that. We can do that immediately before the meeting if we don't have to do it now.
All right. For instance, July the 5th. Yes.
I think that Jack's proposal makes a lot of sense.
All right. Then let's go immediately to a vote I see there's no further discussion. Okay, move to a vote. All in favor of Jack's proposal? 6-0. Jack, may I suggest that the next thing be just to get it done, the $25 security fee?
Let me propose that at this time we proceed with the meeting time, because we know that that's an important issue here.
All right.
And I would like to move that we continue with 7 o'clock for starting times, but temporarily we have a 7:30 start time for our meetings until Laura's current situation changes.
Okay. Now, would you accept as a friendly amendment? Okay, we're open for discussion. Would you accept as a friendly amendment that our informal meeting start at 7?
Yes. Okay. Well, let me ask Laura. How important is it to you to have the informal meeting start at 7:30 rather than 7?
Well, I would just say for the record, so that the public isn't mystified by why this discussion is happening. I am a new mother of twins and breastfeeding them, and they go to bed at 7, and so if the meeting starts at 7, they don't get breastfed before they go to sleep, and so they don't go to sleep, or they wonder where their mother is. So I've been very clear that it's a selfish reason, and I want this to be something the public discusses, because I obviously don't want my personal issues to affect the way that people are able to attend and contribute to this process. That would be silly and selfish of me. But if it's all the same to people who attend the meetings, whether it starts at 7 or 7:30, I would be greatly appreciative if we could start until June 1 at 7:30 for the formal meetings. And for the informal, to answer your question, Jack, I mean, it's really important to me to hear also what people are saying, which is what happens at the informal meeting. So if that's the only way to go forward, it does seem like a fair compromise. I don't know if it confuses people to start meetings at different times or...
Point of information. That does seem confusing to me, and I'm under the impression, because I've seen it happen in the past year that I've attended, that sometimes there are instances where official business does have to be conducted at the informal meetings, because all of those are properly noticed in case there's something that arises and we don't have time to wait until a formal meeting. So... It, just for that reason alone, I mean, is my understanding correct? Point of information.
May I respond to your point by suggesting another friendly amendment that in case formal business does need to be considered that it not be during the informal meetings, that it not be considered before 7:30. Would you accept that, Jack, as a friendly amendment?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
That until June 1st, that any urgent matters arising that need to be considered on the informal meeting be delayed until after 7:30.
Point of personal privilege. So I think that this is confusing to have all these different start times, and I'm really interested in hearing what the public has to say about it. I want to know if the people sitting in the audience can keep up with 7 for this and 7:30 for that, but then if maybe there's something urgent and informal. I'm really curious to know what they have to say, and since I really appreciate Greg's just kind of latitude in allowing this to be conducted somewhat informally, but I move that we just allow a couple of minutes so that we can hear what the people who want to attend and benefit from the transparency of our meetings have to say about what we're talking about.
Is there a second to that motion? There is. Discussion? Seeing no discussion. All in favor of the motion?
Why was the motion took so long?
just to allow what?
To allow the audience to talk about what 5 minutes.
Cool. Thank you so much.
5 minutes.
Yep, 5 minutes is fine.
Fine.
To hear from the public.
Okay. So let's confirm that. All in favor of 5 minutes of discussion, public discussion on this. It's 6-0.
5 minutes.
Yes, I've started the clock. Any?
Hi, my name is Zisan Christina Call. I live at 3220 17th Street. Yeah, I think you should pick one time for both. My personal preference would be 7:30, but obviously that doesn't matter. But I think it's confusing. I looked on the website today. I thought the website said that tonight's meeting started at 7. It started at 7:30. I think it's really important for it to be clear in every different place you can look for meeting times, for it to be very clear when the meetings are. And I think it would be confusing to have different start times.
I believe I double-checked our official website, and it started at 7:30. Although there are many posting areas.
Yes, public comments.
I agree. Go with one time, and I wouldn't even put on the website temporarily. Just go 7:30, and then announce in June 7.
Andrew Chenick in 1900 Lamont Street. I would disagree that two times are not necessarily confusing so long as every word's posted for each meeting is the same, like on the signs and on the website and anywhere else. Because for people who follow the meetings, I assume that you would be able to check and stay on top of things. And for people who are apathetic like me, this is the first time, and I think, oh, I'll come tonight. The place where we find out are the signposts on the road. And looking at that, it's like, oh, okay, it's 7:30, and that is not confusing.
Anybody else? Hi, my name is Jessica. I am on the board of Mount Pleasant Main Street, and I live on the...
Please give your last name, too.
Sure, Jessica Sherman. Used to be Riles.
It's just for the record.
Sure. I'm on the 1600 block of Irving, I think you need to pick one time. I attend these meetings regularly, and I don't even read the website anymore. I just come from instinct. And I think there are a lot of people in this neighborhood that, you know, need to just have that one time because they don't go to your website regularly. And I've never in my life read a post. You know, I know you post your meetings, but I never read them, and I know a lot of people don't. So I'd argue for one time.
My name is Steve Mudd. I'm president of Always Mount Pleasant. I think different times for meetings are okay as long as they're posted and clear. A lot of the people I work with normally would prefer to come to an earlier meeting at 6 or 6:30 or 7. So I'm in favor of an earlier time for the informal discussions where more of the people that I know live in the apartment buildings want to come to the meetings.
Any other discussion? That took 3.5 minutes. Okay. Jack.
Yeah, I want to explain why 7 o'clock is important. One is it gets us home at an earlier hour, and that's important to a lot of us. In fact, we originally changed the time from 7:30 to 7 o'clock for the benefit of a parent in the audience with children. It's also significant that all the other ANCs in Ward 1 start the meetings at 7 o'clock. So I think it's important for us to be consistent with that, start the meetings at 7 o'clock. But we have a very specific problem, and I'm doing my best to make accommodations to that very significant problem. I'm not going to mess with a young mother, believe me. But so this is why I'm struggling really hard here to find a compromise that will suit everybody. It seems to me that maybe the best outcome here would be to have it at 7:30 as long as the need stands. Laura, can you give us any indication of how long it will be important for you to have the 7:30 start time?
If we could do that until the June meeting, that would be wonderful. And I apologize for the inconvenience it creates for anybody.
Jasmine.
I think it's very important if we continue the meeting at 7 because some people, the business, they finish like 6:30, 6:45, they can come. Another thing is some people, you know, working early, like at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, they need going too early to the bed. If we starting at 7:30, is we never finish early. If we put more time, you know, it's Mount Pleasant, the nighttime is very dangerous. We know. This is my point. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm grandma. I know what is the problem with the babies, but for me, I think it's better if we're starting early, finish early. Thank you.
Story.
Well, now, you know, being a mother, and so long ago I can remember I was nursing too, I want to be understanding to that. This commission has been a commission since I've been here that we try to bend, like they did a lot of bending when I came on, believe me. So I'm in favor to it starting at 7:30. I also have little holdbacks on it starting at 7, but I'm more leaning towards 7:30. But I would like to say, if in fact the meetings do go to 7:30, I would greatly appreciate it if the commissioner whom we're bending for would please be on time. But see, that may not be the case all the time. And pretty much our meetings, we don't get to the business until about 7:30. So it really blends up to me.
Well, I absolutely support the meetings beginning at 7:30 because one of the things that I've noticed as I've been attending over the past year and a half is that there are not many people at all who have families and small kids that attend our meetings. It's mostly kind of people who are retired and young people like myself. But when I knocked on every single door in my SMD in the process of running for election, there are a lot of families with kids that would, I believe, attend the meeting. But when you get home from work, you got to get the dinner on. There are just things that you have to do. You have to be able to check in at home. So, and I know that, too, because I used to have a foster daughter and was single parenting my foster daughter. So I absolutely support the meetings beginning at 7:30. Plus, it helps me out because I know I have ledge sessions on the first and third Tuesdays. And so it just gives me that extra buffer to be able to get here from work, and I appreciate that. And one other thing, sorry. I know that there is interpretive equipment, and if the commissioners are looking for someone to volunteer to do that, I certainly cannot volunteer to do that for our meetings if the meetings begin at 7. But if they begin at 7:30, I don't mind doing that. And so if that's a concern as well, then I'm willing to volunteer for that. But if the meetings begin at 7, then unfortunately I wouldn't be able. But if they start at 7:30, I don't have a problem with that.
Jack, but I haven't taken my turn. Huh?
Yeah, I just want to offer what seems to be a reasonable compromise, which is that we will start the meetings at 7:30 until June, when we will start the meetings at 7 o'clock.
Okay. So that rejects my other compromise.
I second that.
I think that's an acceptable compromise.
Well, let me just say that I know I've talked with a lot of the merchants, just to reiterate some of the things that were said, and it's much more many of them that I've spoken with, and some of them that have that I've asked to speak to others, because I've been sick and not able to prowl the streets, and say they would prefer something sooner, even 6 o'clock. But that is conflicts with a lot of the people that have later hours. I also have at times been able to get crowds of 50 to 70 people to come for important issues that look much more like the broad diversity of Mount Pleasant. When I do that, they need to leave pretty promptly, and most of them are gone by 7:30 and certainly by 8. So I think perhaps most of the time we'll get an audience like tonight, but there are times when important things come up that will be different. But that's my discussion. Is there any other discussion? And then I gather I will relinquish my hold on the friendly amendment, and I suggest we now vote. All in
with the vote, and then that's displayed is the current status of this motion, that we start at 7:30 until June, then 7 o'clock for both meetings.
All right. All in favor of the motion as written? It's 4. And all opposed? I abstain. And as does Jasmine. So it's 4-0-2. There are a couple of quickies that I think we need to get through, that we've got to do it, like the $25 security fee, where we can't write checks unless we get that done. Does that accept? Is that?
Yeah, let me, as treasurer, make the motion. This is an important bit of routine business. Resolve that this commission approves the ANC's participation in Advisory Neighborhood Commission Security Fund and authorizes the Treasurer to pay the $25 fee for the period January 1, 2011 through December 31, 2011. The Chairperson and Secretary are authorized to execute the agreement.
Yes, it does.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Well, this is a routine matter. We are required to be bonded. The treasurer and the secretary and the chair are required to be bonded. This is a means for doing that. If we don't do this, we've got to do something else to be bonded against malfeasance. This is a cheap way to do it.
And I've been told that, but I haven't seen the regs, that if we don't do so, well, then we can't write checks. So it's important. Okay, moving to a vote. All in favor? 6-0. Okay, now we have a number of other resolutions that have come in. I'd like to suggest that in keeping with the way that we've developed our open agenda process, let me ask, are there any of these that have some special urgency?
I'd like to make a motion that if we go to the Mount Pleasant Library resolution, that we take some time to hear what the public has to say about that. And I know that, Greg, you can speak to what the issue is there. But I definitely would be interested in hearing what the people in the audience have to say. That's my motion. Hope there's a second.
Again, 5 minutes for this.
That works. Thanks.
People are being quite succinct. All right. All in favor of
First things first is to choose which motion we are going to consider, and that assumes that we're going to consider the library motion.
Good. Very good. May I?
I'm fine with that. I wanted to make the motion before we got into the discussion. That's fine.
All right. Fine. We'll work this out. I'm trying to about how to do this, because I did lose track of the procedure, which is the first thing we do is to see if we have something that is critical that must be done right away, and then secondly, what is most important has the greatest impact for doing. Actually, before that, just to explain our open agenda process, we also look for any things that are mostly by consensus, where there's only going to be one or two negative votes and can be usually dispensed with pretty quick. If it's clean and mostly by consensus, well, we take care of those very quickly too. Okay. Jack, do you have ideas on which are most, are there critical items that must be done now?
Mine are not.
All right.
So if we want to proceed with your...
But first I want to poll for open agenda. I want to poll the commissioners.
Right, okay.
Jasmine, do you know of any?
What?
Are there any critical, time critical? Laura? Okay, Stormy? China?
I'm fine with going to the library.
All right.
I'm fine with going to the library.
Okay, so we have one critical one, and I gather the agreement is that we move to that at this point. Now, we vote on your deferred. Behind the scenes, there is a deal where we agreed to table your motion until we finish the other, right?
Sounds good.
Okay. Jack?
I think it's appropriate that I read the resolution.
No, first we're going to have a vote on her motion to open a public discussion for 5 minutes.
It's the other way around. First we have to have the motion on the floor. Then you move to open the because you have to have the motion on the floor to have a discussion. Then if you want to open the discussion to the public, that's another motion.
What do you... I disagree with him, but it's your motion. What do you say? This is a discussion.
You can hear the motion at any time because of the way that I phrased it. I moved that when we get to the library that we have public discussion, so that could have been heard beforehand, but I'm willing to go with whatever the commission is, ready.
Fine. Yeah. Good. Collegiality, I like that. So, Jack, would you proceed with the reading of the main body of the resolution?
ANC1D appeals for aid in discovery, more time to analyze, advises overturning the ZA, meaning the zoning administrator. Resolved, ANC1D enjoins itself to the Board of Zoning Adjustment, BZA, in the current BZA case number 18152, and appeals that it be listed as an appellant. 1D further resolved the following major statements, including the whys, as equal parts of this resolution, as are the appendices. 1D designates Commissioner Greg Edwards to be its representative in this case. With Chris Cotton as witness, he will present more detailed arguments and evidence at the hearing as more information that has been withheld becomes available. 2, 1D asks the BZA to obtain for itself and for 1D copies of all the current plans, emails, and other correspondence that specify and explain the plans and rationales for the approval by the zoning administrator, period. 1D advises the BZA to require the zoning administrator and the Office of Zoning to follow the ANC law to the degree it can do so. 3, 1D appeals for more time to discover and answer the rationales for the loss of the rear / side yards and the loss of normally required off-street parking. 4, 1D incorporates in this present resolution the points, see Appendix 1, raised in the 10 January 2011 unanimous resolution by ANC 1C in appeal, and by Chris Auden and Greg Edwards in their presentation to BZA on 11 January 2011, and as if those points be considered as reasons for why the ZA's approval should be overturned. 1D further incorporates in this enjoinment and appeal all points and resolutions that were directed to the Office of Zoning, as noted in its roll-up resolution, submitted by Rhett Edwards to BZA on 11 January 2011, and asks that BZA give the resolution and its 148 points great weight.
Second?
I second.
Discussion?
I think that we have to still hear my original motion, which was to open it up for the public to comment, but I was hoping that before we did that, that you could just kind of explain what this is about.
Okay. Let me start in a specific point. Unknown to all of the commissions in our area, the zoning administrator in 2009 wrote a letter of determination allowing the DC Public Libraries, DCPL, to plan a building that put a large ramp on its west side and a major extension within 10 feet of the property line on to the south side. And no notice was given to anybody. When I discovered that the library was proceeding with construction without any permits, and they lied to me that they had the permits, and in front of Jackie Reyes, so I have a witness of their lies, I inquired into it and found that the zoning administrator has written a letter, and I asked him to what was going on. It is, after discussing this with Gottlieb Simon and several others, it appears that the D.C. Law on ANCs explicitly says that notifying one commissioner is not proper notice. There's a whole bunch of other steps. Let me skip over now. So, in addition, ANCs 1A and C, as well as D, have asked for information about the library, including its more meets and bounds and what it was planning on doing. They have not been forthcoming in this. And indeed, we have been told contradictory things. One is that the expensive expert reports that were prepared by 1C and D were no good because we didn't use the latest drawings, and there had been substantial changes. And yet the zoning administrator argued on the 11th that because we had been shown rough drawings, that that's all we needed. At this point, then, the many issues that we have been addressing in resolutions over the last 3 years have been ignored. The agencies involved have not answered them. They have not shared information. And on the 11th, the chair of the commission, Meredith, I forget her last name, said that if ANC 1D asked for the information, she would use her powers to obtain a copy for the BZA so they could complete their case log and would give us access to a copy as well. So the argument is that, they also have done away with the requirement of 6 off-street parking spaces in an area with essentially no parking, and they apparently have gone against the explicit zoning regulations that require that no change be more than 10% and that that the linear distances for air and environmental feeling be respected, and indeed it is half of what is generally required. We have a chance now, invited by and supported by the advice of Gottlieb Simon and Cliff Moy, went through this and suggested lots of changes of what we should be doing and reminded me of things that the chair had said, and they're incorporated in this. I believe with the changes that were made as late as 6:30 tonight in telephone conversations, that this will give us a chance to put the case before the BZA without much prejudice, if the willingness of the board is and the support that we were shown comes through. I'm sorry if this is too long, but I think this has been a complicated case. Does this answer your questions, China?
I think it's helpful. I think it's more so that we can hear from the public. But
so I just want to make sure I understand the points that you're raising, Greg. So the 6 parking spaces that you're talking about, those are parking spaces that have been reduced, or they just weren't created?
They were not created, some of them, and some of them are going to be taken out of the very limited spaces on that short block. As it mentions, there are 500 people that live along those blocks, and there's only about 40 spaces. So this is one of the tightest areas in all of Mount Pleasant.
But wait, when you say they are going to be taken away, there are spaces being eliminated, or there just aren't six being created?
They are being, there are short-term pickup and delivery spots. There are two handicapped spots that are taken on the out of the on-street parking.
Through the construction, that's what's been happening. Isn't that, that means that's a permanent change?
This is their plan to as a permanent change.
It's to reduce the available on-street parking by six
right.
spaces.
And they can, in the driveway, they have immediately to the west of the building currently, there are about eight off-street parking spaces, and that will also be eliminated.
And one other question. The points that you're raising in the appendix relating to open lot requirements about them being not less than 15 feet, et cetera, the actual spatial requirements, do you tell me a little bit more about why you find that to be so important? I mean, who is negatively impacted by those regulations not being met?
The of these two spaces, the one that has a lot of controversy because it the Park Marconi apartment building is immediately to the south of the library. And they are impacted because the library will be very close, 10 feet away from the building at one spot. The library misled them by giving an average, by drawing a line through the average of the space. It's in regular space. And rather than paying attention to the minimum requirements of the zoning code. But that 10 feet means that you can't get a fire truck there. And this is an old building of the same vintage as the two buildings in which we have, apartment buildings in which we have had fires, and one in which three people died in the last couple of months. The other space, directly to the west, they are going to build the library structure immediately at the line, and it will be within a couple of feet of a neighboring building, the Mount Pleasant Co-op. But I think more significantly is that it will the ramp will be from the street level up to the second floor, 120 feet, and 1C and 1D has hired consultants, a lot of them, a total of seven, that have unanimously said that this is contrary to ADA requirements. And even a bigger one is that the 1D consultant pointed out that that given the high density of buildings where the fire jumps between them in less than 5 minutes, as we saw in the Deauville fire, 18 and a half feet it jumped within 5 minutes. That is the largest space, and so the fire could spread to all those buildings, potentially endangering well over 1,000 people. And particularly, they don't have fire stairs. They don't have sprinklers. They're unlikely to do so because to install any of these things would trigger loss of grandfathering and mean a requirement for immediate multimillion dollar rehabs. So there are hundreds of people that could be endangered because the current Chief Faust, when he was not the chief, told me that the International Fire Code usually requires that you be able to get a ladder truck down that corridor that is there, and to be able to save people. We've already seen one person die out of the delays of getting a ladder truck to the person, and it could be hundreds of others that could go up in one of the largest fires in DC history. This is truly significant issues. Story.
I just want to know, can I make a motion to close discussion so we can vote?
If you don't mind, Stormy, because this is a new issue to me. Can you also help me understand what the impact is of this resolution? Is the intention to go back and have these plans redrawn to meet the requirements of law, or is there another intention here? And I also wonder what the impact is on that in delaying the library from being reopened to the public.
The intent, it's complicated and there are many groups here. There was a unanimous opinion by the established civics in Mount Pleasant, the only time anybody can remember it, that wanted this expansion gutted. Personally, all I'm working for is the issue that there are hundreds of lives at stake and 100,000 trips by seniors and the handicap up a 120-foot ramp. So if we could just get rid of the ramp, there is already an entrance at the ground floor that could easily serve with minor changes. And so if they wanted to, they had already drawn up plans for the ground floor entrance. They were vetoed by the chief librarian. But studies have already been done, and it seems to me that if they lost this, there would be no more than 2 months delay.
Point of information, and I'll make it quick because I'm still curious to know if anyone in the audience has anything to say, but I thought that the ADA ramp is outside of the jurisdiction of the BZA, so I thought that at the last hearing, they said that they wouldn't consider anything having to do with the ADA ramp anyway, that that this would just kind of be for the fires, for the lack of space behind the building.
You're correct. However, I have talked with some lawyers. They say that they have ignored the intent sections and the general wheel sections of the zoning administration, right, and tend to go for the very specific how many feet differences. And we've covered that. Thanks to Chris Otten, who did a lot of the research, and to Peter McGee, who lives in Mount Pleasant, who brought those things up. So my strategy here, with the number of volunteer lawyers that say they're now able to clear some time, is to raise these points here as part of a strategy, short-term, immediate, concrete, and some longer-term issues, so that if and when we go for appeals, we have introduced this at the current level, because if anything not introduced now, we cannot do so when we go to the Court of Appeals.
I'd like to hear what our residents say right now. I mean, I really appreciate all of the work that Greg, that you've done, and that Chris, that you've done. My one concern gets to something that I've heard earlier, and that is just when would the construction ultimately begin? Because I do think it's time to get construction going on the library, and I'm concerned that the appeal, I wonder if it's the best approach to address what our concerns are. And I wonder if the appeal doesn't just delay construction getting started on the library. If it's the space behind the alley, if it's that issue, my understanding is that the zoning administrator has flexibility to move things by about 6% of the total property square footage.
This is 20%.
Okay, this is 20%? Okay. So I don't know. So this is my concern. I just wonder if this appeal is actually the most collaborative and best approach to really get what we want, or does it really succeed only in delaying things? That's my concern. But I'm really curious.
Okay,
let me just
answer.
Yeah.
To me, the overriding issue is life and safety.
To me as
well. If we accelerate this and don't delay it by not even 2 months, let's call it six, if we can save some more lives, much less the threat of even hundreds of lives as raised by our fire consultants and a bunch of others that are independently looking at this, not us as commissioners, but experts that deal with these issues. That is overriding, and I say that if we can save lives, a few more months of delay will be worth it.
Today I'm not prepared to vote in favor of the motion, but I won't necessarily vote against it. What I'd like to do is hear more from my residents in terms of what they'd like to see all happen right. with the library and when. So that's kind of where I am, and I hear what you're saying about the lives. That's really important to me too. My concern is that I can't imagine that there won't be fire sprinklers in the building. I mean, so, but I hear what you're saying though, and I know
but you've not in the, all the other buildings. Mm-hmm. There will be in the library.
Okay, right. So that's for me. I'm not prepared to vote in favor of this
sure.
motion today.
But we have to do that tonight because I'm under. Only a few days I've got to get back so
okay.
to submit things.
Jack.
Just quickly, I want to explain my position on this one, which is that we have had examples before where the zoning administrator has made decisions that were not in accordance with the legal requirements. We've gotten into trouble. Long story, but we've had some very difficult situations where the zoning administrator made improper decisions. I think it's only reasonable in this case that the zoning administrator decision be reviewed by the BZA.
Good. Any discussion?
Just a question. From the agenda, it sounds like this is a plan that sounds bad, but you just found out about it at the last minute. Is the effect of whatever you're going to be voting on to ask for more time to look at it because you just got it and appealing it's the only way you can go about doing it, or is the effect of your vote, if you say yes, to actually oppose it?
It considers, if I may answer quickly, it considers a fork of many times. So if they want us to proceed in a week, well, we can. If we get more information, and because there's something going on wrong because they've hidden information from us and everybody else for a long time, and they've misled us, actually. So they're not honorable in the way that they've handled this. So we have a variety of this. What this does, what this resolution basically does, it preserves our opportunity to get more information and to understand. And if the zoning and the BZA rules against us, it allows us some time, a few weeks maybe, to consider with whether we should proceed with an appeal. It's mostly something that opens up opportunities and doesn't allow them to be foreclosed.
My name's Steve Mudd. I was involved, as many other people in the neighborhood, in the library issue. I spent some time downtown interviewing folks at the shelters at 2nd and C Street, Northwest. And described to them the situation. They said there's several buildings like that throughout the district that are putting in these very long ramps. They may be navigable for folks who have motorized wheelchairs in good condition, but a lot of people just don't have motorized wheelchairs. They have manual wheelchairs. And for them, it's exhausting and exclusive, and it becomes a building that is completely non-accessible to them. Motorized wheelchairs are not a resource in the district where you can just sign up for one or get on a waiting list. It's goes on a basis of whether you can pay for it or not. So for them, they were very disappointed to hear about the design of the library. On the fire issue, we've had many serious fires on this block, 3100 block of Mount Pleasant Street and 16th Street, both in businesses and apartment buildings, and many deaths in many different buildings. There is a natural corridor behind all these buildings, and fire code actually supports fire apparatus, including ladder trucks, being able to go to the back and sides of buildings, particularly high-density buildings. As it is now, and you can see in the Doyle fire and also the Sarban fires, the fire trucks can merely crowd in at the front. The irony of this is in the zoning because this block is zoned medium high density residential, and the library is essentially one of the few buildings that's not residential, but they're acting like a very bad neighbor and not taking these very serious issues into consideration.
Thank you, commissioners. Good evening. My name is Chris Otten, a former ANC commissioner. I just finished my tour of duty in 2010. So I wish you, the new commissioners, well. It's going to be an exciting 2 years. And I've been following the library for the past 2 years on the commission. My commission has submitted, I want to say, 6 or 7 resolutions on the library issue. The most, I guess, impacting one was the resolution to hire an expert architect to look at not only the ramp and the ADA compliance, but also the size of the expansion and the concerns raised by the community about the fires. And Jasmine can speak to that directly. There was a fire at the Park Marconi on Christmas Day this year. I mean, just a few weeks ago. The Sarban Towers was 3 months ago. 2 people have died from that, by the way.
Not 3, thanks.
Yeah, you said 1. Actually, it's 2. And there's a whole family that was burned badly. But the experience that I heard, and this is now an affidavit form from the president of the Park Marconi, is that the fire department could not find adequate hydrant service around the library, which is next to the Park Marconi. They had to go across the street and close off 16th Street to get adequate service just into their building, let alone the night of the Deauville, where they had to run hoses through the building, through the Park Marconi, spray out the back of the windows just to get to the back here. In the December 2010, my last ANC commission meeting, Captain Chapman of the Adams Morgan Lanier Heights fire station point blank said that the Sarban Towers thing is still under investigation, but you know that ideally we have a truck in the front and the back, not just to rescue people, but for the safety of the emergency personnel. Because if they go into a building and they don't have a second way out, then they're in trouble too. So that was raised, and that's in our notes. So there is a legitimate life safety concern. And of course, this was raised this whole time during this process, that the way this, where this building is located, where the library building is located, it's at the end of this long residential corridor and essentially serves as the gateway to behind here. And that Lamont Street access point will be forever closed by not only the expansion, but this ramp. And so, in essence, the ramp does have legal relevance to this case, even though they said, you know, we need to be specific. There is legal relevance.
Chris, we're now at 15 minutes.
Okay. Can I just, so I just was making the case for why this is important. But I would recommend 2 things on this resolution if I could. I would recommend removing my name out of it because I am an appellant already in the hearing. And I would say that the ANC can stand on its own great weight. I'm also representing the Park Marconi. So I think, me being mentioned several times might dilute.
May I mention to you that Clifford Moy in his conference called to me tonight about 5:30, specifically suggested naming you in this because it would help anchor your evidence that you presented last time. Yes, does that change your mind?
I'm an appellant already, so it's up to you guys. I think the broader the spectrum of people who are there, I mean, there are going to be appellants from the Park Marconi, hopefully from the Deauville apartments, and other groups. The
Colorado Civic Association.
If they're considering it, and hopefully some of the neighborhood associations here. So I guess that's what I'm encouraging you to remove my name. You don't have to. Whatever you see best. And then the other thing I would say is it refers to...
Jack, would you allow me to make a change in accordance with his wish? So you remove the 2 places where Chris Otten's name is. Thank you.
The other thing that's important to this is ANC1C just this past couple weeks ago passed a resolution themselves to bring up some zoning issues with the BZA on this matter. They mentioned the rear yard, of course, which is something we all share, but they also mentioned...
I've included this in
the courts.
Let me then say we're now at 16 and a half minutes.
There was one other point I just wanted to bring
quickly,
up.
Please.
You asked, the resolution asked that the BZA give the resolution and its 148 points great weight. I think we need to include with that DCRA, because DCRA is essentially where the zoning administrator works. And DCRA has been stalwart in terms of not responding to the ANCs. They have not responded to ANC 1C's resolutions.
Let me answer that briefly, and that is I'm trying to keep this simple, and it's directed. We already passed resolutions directed to DCRA. I had an hour-long conversation with Nick Majet, the new director, and he promised me another meeting to go forward, and I would propose waiting until we have, let's get this behind us. It's going to take a heck of a lot of time in the next few days. And not muddy the water on this.
Through the chair, I move to close debate.
Okay. Paul.
I don't feel like I have enough information to take a vote, even though it's compelling to hear, particularly your narrative, Chris. But I do wonder. Have we already tried reaching out to the zoning board, and why are they saying that they want to stick with their decision if there's all this evidence that lives are at risk?
They haven't said they're going to stick with the decision.
The library has.
Oh, the library board, yeah.
And that's just because they feel like they've done enough due diligence, or? I know you can't really represent their viewpoint, but I'm just trying to understand
ask that I discuss this with you afterwards, because we get into the nature of D.C. politics and who is appointed to the boards and other issues like that.
And I withdraw my earlier motion, and I move that we table this resolution.
Then that kills it.
Only if it passes. I move that we table the resolution.
Is there a second to killing tabling the resolution?
I do, because I still feel like I have to study it.
Well, let me, I recognize your second. In discussion, let me say that if we don't pass it now, then the board will vote on February the 1st. And we will not have met all of their series of deadlines behind. And so this means that it is, the consequence of that motion is to allow the library to continue. Because that's why it's critical. There's not another month to go. If you want to, but otherwise, I heard a request to close discussion.
I withdrew the motion to close the debate, and I put instead a motion to table this particular resolution. I'm comfortable with the fact that this will not go forward, and the reason is that the 8A ramp is critical to the whole thing about the space behind the library and whether the fire trucks can get through. And under the business appeal, they will not even address the ADA ramp. And so I just feel like I need more information as well. I think that there is an opportunity to try a more collaborative approach versus litigation, which just is having been a litigator, I don't find very productive. So I do move to close the debate. And
okay, there's a motion and a second to close debate.
But let's be clear. This is debate on the motion to table.
Yes.
I never made a motion to close the debate on the motion to table. I withdrew my motion to close the debate. To close discussion.
May we move to a vote now on the motion to table?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor of the motion to table? 2. All opposed? 3. It fails 3-2. Okay. Then we go back to the main motion.
Can I say something, please?
Yes.
Okay. I'm the president, 3145 Mount Pleasant Street. You know, next March 12 is third anniversary. If the library don't have the problem now, if they, make the good construction, maybe we don't lose anything in the building. You know, we know how many times we come the meeting, the ANC, we know try to, the help to us. Why the people wait for another 2 buildings fire? This is the reason we don't have more time. I'm not Jasmine, the ANC commissioner now. And the president has 200 people in my back. Thank you.
Okay. May we move to a vote on the main motion. All in favor of the main motion? It's Jack, Jasmine, Stormy, and Greg. Opposed? Seeing abstain? To abstain. Now, is there other business that we need to handle tonight?
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
It's always in order. It's not for discussion. Is there a second? There's a second. All in favor? Raise your hand.
Sorry, I didn't know what we're voting on right now.
Motion to adjourn
the meeting.
Okay. All in favor? Jack? Okay. 6-0. At 9:14, we are adjourned.
Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you. All right. We got our first webinar about to give me back. Okay.
So I'm hoping we'll find ways to take the training wheel off. So, because in the informal rules, you only go to the formal rules when you're
comfortable. Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
I tried in one or two cases.
Yeah, I know.
But
this is why we...